Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're doing well. You're joining us here at the Council of Trent podcast. I am your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Reunited, and it feels so good, as the old song once said, though I have just butchered it right now. I'm going to share with you today an interview that I had with Timory Millington, my previous co-host, when we shared the stage here at Catholic Answers on our old show, Hearts and Minds. Timory is now the host of Trending. She records up at the Tower of Hope. It sounds like a Catholic superhero lair up there in Orange County at the Christ Cathedral up there in Orange County. We went up last week. I was able to do a great show with her. So she gave me permission to share a bit of that with you all. I think you'll find it to be helpful. We discussed masculinity, toxic masculinity, and the American Psychological Association and their denigration of good masculinity and about how we need men to be real, authentic, and good men. So I hope you enjoy this interview. And of course, do remember to check out TrenthornPodcast.com for bonus content and to help support the podcast so we can keep doing all these great daily episodes to give you content to edify you, build you up, and help you explain, defend, evangelize, and celebrate our wonderful Catholic faith. And without further ado, here is the conversation I had with Timory Millington.
Good to be back with all of you. For those of you who didn't catch the other episode earlier in the week, I have a special treat for you. My former co-host Trent Horn is back in studio with me this week. And we've been talking in the past episode about his newer book late last year, Made This Way, really helping parents to discuss the tough moral issues with both prepubescent and pubescent children. Mm-hmm. So Trent, right now, I think it's so prevalent as an issue, especially for young kids, discussing the sexual moral issues, especially the confusion around gender ideology. But the news that just came out this week is pretty disheartening. I guess it's not surprising, but it's further what we're seeing in the classroom with young boys. The American Psychological Association is kind of re-emphasizing, not using the same words, but this idea of toxic masculinity, right, that we hear in the culture.
Well, it says that traditional masculinity can be harmful for young men and boys. And so psychologists and therapists and psychiatrists and educators need to keep that in mind when they're interacting with young men. And so, yeah, they didn't use the phrase that's popular now, toxic masculinity, but their foil was this idea of traditional masculinity. And it's that buzzword. And I don't want to be cynical as if they just chose it simply to get their press release more attention, frankly. But I thought that was a poor choice of words for them to use, because I think what they put forward in their new guidelines is a mixed bag of positive and negative, honestly.
Absolutely. And you look at it and clearly there is an issue. You know, they show some statistics showing that homicide is much more common, both on being committed on and the perpetrators of men specifically. But what they're not sharing specifically that it is especially Black men who are committing these homicides and who are the victims of them. And so it's interesting because as they're showing this as a really big issue, this society calls toxic masculinity, and they're saying is kind of somewhat of a mental, issue,
right,
or
then,
disorder.
And what's hard is there are facts and then there are interpretations of facts. And so it's always hard, especially with psychology and sociology, that people don't understand the barrier here between there is a fact and then you can take a lot of different interpretations of,
right,
these facts. So, for example, you could take the fact that per capita wise, African Americans are more likely to commit crimes than other races. Then that's simply a fact. The question is, what interpretation do you take from that fact? You could take a racist interpretation and say that people belonging to a certain race are just more likely to be criminal, which we would say from another factual perspective is just flat out wrong. That's not the case. Or you could take, as other people will take the perspective, well, people who are members of races that are marginalized or have had historically been oppressed deal with structural racism, and that leads to these other problems. But then you could take another third option and say, within these communities, there are higher rates of fatherlessness, for example, mm-hmm, and that when young men do not have good male role models, they tend to act out, commit crimes, And so we need to have, so it's so counterproductive when you have the American Psychological Association saying traditional masculinity is a problem, when no, we need masculinity, but we need authentic and genuine masculinity. You don't see them doing this with women. Like you say, they say with men, men are more likely to be victims of homicide. There's something wrong with masculinity. They don't say women are more likely to be victims of rape. There must be something wrong with femininity, Timmery. If women are more likely to be victims of rape,
they're like, wicked temptresses.
No, they say
that's what people would, you know, if we were to follow their logic, though, right?
Right.
We'd be going down that same
path.
But
instead, what they say here is, oh, wait a minute, that women have, you know, higher rates of depression, higher rates of body image disorders, more likely to be victims of rape. There are problems within society that affect women that we must deal with and confront. Yet when men have problems, higher rates of homicide, what's funny is women are more likely to be depressed or suicidal, but men are more likely to successfully complete suicide. Mm-hmm. So they have higher suicide completion rates than women. So here it's not, maybe there's things in society that aren't serving men well. It's just, oh, there's just something wrong with masculinity. And I think that's a wrong-headed approach.
So they're taking the approach that after 40 years of study, they've come to this conclusion that masculinity is psychologically, quote, harmful. And that's so misleading because in some areas you understand why this is somewhat of an issue within communities where a masculinity that should not be pushed forward can be. But the terms they're using are very ambiguous and confusing for people today.
I hate it. What do you mean by traditional masculinity?
Well, here's what they say. Yeah. They say stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, which all of these things in and of themselves are not necessarily bad.
Right. And so when this comes up, because 12 years ago, they released, these are for their new guidelines about serving men and boys. 12 years ago in 2007,
right,
they released guidelines for women and girls, but they don't say traditional femininity is a problem. When people bring up, I find this is a good question to ask, and people say toxic masculinity is a problem, there's two questions I like to ask them. Number one, well, if toxic masculinity is bad, what is good masculinity? Please define that for me. And second, is there such a thing as toxic femininity? That one, especially people who are, you know, very, have this other view that's very anti the idea that men and women are complementary and different. If they try to say men and women are the same, it's funny. People say, oh, men and women are the same. There's hardly any differences between them. But then they'll say, yeah, but you've got traditional masculinity, toxic masculinity, so different than women. Well, what about toxic femininity? Does that exist? And people will take umbrage at that. But what I like, and I've heard people try to answer the question. One article said toxic femininity, women have toxic femininity when they let people abuse, mistreat them, walk over them. That toxic masculinity is extreme aggressiveness and toxic femininity is extreme passiveness.
Docility.
Which is this idea that women couldn't possibly hurt other people.
Yeah.
And so I would say that's an outdated gender stereotype.
Absolutely. Well, and to look at this too, so if these are the things that are technically a disorder or harmful, right, to be stoic, to have competitiveness, to be dominant, to have aggression.
Well, they can't.
I'm competitive. There are a lot of women who are very competitive.
Of course,
there are a lot of women that have high pain tolerances.
Right.
There are a lot of women who act very dominantly. So does that mean that those are harmful behaviors,
right,
harmful
they
masculine
can
behaviors?
Be. They can be. And what's amazing is there's an article here on the American Psychological Association website on their CE Corner by Stephanie Pappas. And it actually says here at the end, there are some good things in the Pappas article. Now, there's the typical patriarchy stuff mm-hmm. that I completely disagree with. But it also says it's important to encourage pro-social aspects of masculinity in certain circumstances. Traits like stoicism and self-sacrifice can be absolutely crucial.
Right.
But the same tough demeanor that might save a soldier's life may not be appropriate at home with a romantic partner or a child. So that's where, you know, to say, well, yeah, let's promote masculinity of protection, of valor, of sacrifice, and especially of commitment. That I think even my wife, Laura, would join me this in saying that women are good at being able to multitask, take care of multiple things at once, and men are just horrible at that. But men are pretty good at taking one thing and following it through just all the way to the end, sometimes to an obsessive fault. But that's a good masculine trait because we need committed men, i.e. like committed husbands and fathers who don't abandon their families and perpetuate this cycle of quote unquote toxic masculinity.
Absolutely. So when we're talking about these different areas, on one end, they're saying it's bad. And then on the other hand, they're saying it's good if it brings in good morality, if it brings in virtue, if it brings in commitment, which is ironic because the Psychological Association is saying this. Yet what society is saying is don't make that commitment, right? Don't have a moral compass. Yet those are the exact things that temper a toxic masculinity.
And here's what I think the problem is, that when people bring up this idea of toxic masculinity or traditional masculinity, once again, this is what we talked about in the other show when we sat down together, is that there's kind of a doublespeak and a tension with this gender ideology. So even in the Pappas article at the APA, at the end of the article, she says, when researchers strip away stereotypes and expectations, there isn't much difference in the basic behaviors of men and women. Well, one, that's just not true. You look at studies of rhesus monkeys, for example. Right. When you take boy monkeys play with trucks, girl monkeys play with dolls. It's not socialization. Men like action-oriented things. Women like nurturing, care-oriented things. Even at the beginning of the article, the Pappas article on the APA, you know, she says, you know, the APA just released these new guidelines. Is it necessary? She says, is it necessary? Because men still dominate professionally and politically. 95% of CEOs are men. 80% of Congress is male. Well, wait, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything? That there's this, that when you say...
They're saying that it's bad that there are more men in these areas because they're showing their dominance by not allowing women to come.
Well, then, well, why can't I say it's bad that 95% of kindergartner teachers are female?
Right.
95% of social workers and elementary school teachers are female, and they've nurtured out any men who would want to be in these positions. So here, once again, as I said earlier, there are facts and interpretations of facts. So the fact, men are more likely to be CEOs, more likely to be politicians, then how do you interpret that? I interpret it as that men have a natural desire to want to lead others. They have a natural desire to want to do that and to lead in a particular way that is often competitive more than cooperative. And so it leads to them doing this. Not that women are victims of some kind of patriarchy. People say this is discriminatory when men are in these leadership positions, but not that it's discriminatory when women are caregivers, social workers, elementary school teachers, because there's this value. Well, those jobs just aren't as good as a CEO.
Well, and they also say, well, that's their choice. They're choosing to do that rather than entering into the world in a different way. They're choosing to nurture.
Right. And I would say most women, are choosing to do that. And men are choosing other things because men and women, they just are different. And so you can't say, as this article says, they're basically the same thing. And yet there's this toxic masculinity, traditional masculinity. Wait, I thought they're basically the same. Now you're saying men are different in some kind of a negative way. You can't have both.
Let's talk about the impact. For example, they show different things like there's a higher homicide rate. There's a higher suicide rate. Men are 3.5 times more likely to commit suicide. They have a shorter lifespan. We could go on and on about these different things. But one of the things they mention is that young boys are more likely to have attention deficit disorder. And this is one of those things that has also become very, very common among children who are coming from broken homes where they've seen divorce, single parent homes. Also something we see happen very often within the African American community as well, where we're seeing a huge increase in homicide and suicide rates.
You also have higher rates of fatherlessness in African American communities and in lower socioeconomic classes in general.
So what does this say? That when there's a mother and a father in the home, and when a father is usurping that correct masculine role, that it is better for the child in the long-term development because they are teaching their children how to share their emotions and interact correctly. Yeah. They're teaching their children to temper competitiveness both with their siblings and by interacting as a father, rough and tumble play with a child.
And that's what you need. So the APA, and they talk about traditional masculinity, quote unquote, they're right that, you know, masculine energies that are disordered, that seek violence for the sake of violence, that are harmful towards others, that abdicate that protective role, those things are bad. But the problem is, I think a lot of people see masculinity as a defective form of femininity. And so with boys, like in elementary school, boys are just seen as defective girls.
Exactly.
Girls sit quietly and listen and make the little macaroni heart arts and crafts. I always get mad at like a craft time. It's like, we're going to make macaroni arts and crafts. Why can't you make rockets? Why can't you do a bridge and do a demolition? So boys aren't, you know, are supposed to sit still for hours on end, whereas they have energy and they want to go out. And so boys get labeled with attention deficit disorder because they won't sit still for 3 hours like a girl will.
Well, and you won't even allow the child to go outside. They have to sit still for multiple hours. But not only that, you can't then even allow their imagination to run wild, which little boys have these incredible imaginations. So it's saying, oh, you can't draw that sword with a pirate. You can't draw that right. monster being chopped in half because that's violent. So not only are you saying physically we can't interact, but mentally, emotionally, but, intellectually we can't interact. So then these boys, you know, the American Psychological Association is talking about how young boys have this difficulty sharing emotion. Well, maybe it's because even within our own education systems, they're not allowed to
when
show
they share
themselves.
Their emotion, yeah, they get in trouble.
Yeah.
And so this idea that boys get in trouble for who they are, and that's why you need, I think, the antidote to toxic or I prefer the term disordered masculinity. I think that's better. That's off the top of my head right now. That, yeah, I believe there's disordered femininity and disordered masculinity.
Absolutely.
So disordered femininity is the sense that my value only comes from my appearance and how others perceive me. That leads to body image disorders. It leads to promiscuity. You have a, you know, disordered sense of femininity. And a disordered sense of masculinity is that my value only comes from the fact that I dominate and control others. That's disordered. But there are ordered versions of these things. And so the best antidote for disordered masculinity is mentorship from those who have healthy masculinity, like having, and the most practical role here is fathers with their sons. Like with my sons, when they play rough and tumble, I let them. And sometimes they hurt each other a little bit. That's okay. I just teach them, they learn limits. Like if someone says, ow, or no, or stop, then it's over and you have to respect the other person. But I don't put down a rule like you can never be rough with one another because that would stifle their natural and healthy masculine energy.
And you're showing exactly what a child needs to learn in that competitiveness, tempering it, in
right.
that dominance, tempering it. And that's what they learn from siblings. I remember Jordan Peterson was talking about how it's important for children to have both a mother and a father in the home because specifically the father will engage in that rough and tumble play with a child. And when he does that, he shows the child limits. He shows the child that you actually have to wait to engage in this activity sometimes that you really want to engage in,
right.
but you can't all the time. And this is something that helps with the cognitive development of the child.
Right. And so I think that when this issue comes up, as I said before, when we're talking about masculinity and femininity, we should, critics who, you know, try to say this, that toxic masculinity bad, traditional masculinity is bad, I would ask them to define what is masculinity and femininity and what are the good ways to live that out. And it's so weird because when they start to try to describe masculinity, like, you know, you have the positive traits, they're hesitant, like self-sacrifice. Even in the Pappas article on the APA, she says, actually, studies show that women are expected to be more sacrificial than men. So anything positive she has to admit about masculinity, she undercuts by saying, but women actually are better at that. So anything that's masculine ends up becoming stoicism, competitiveness. I think even in some of the drafts, it says being adventurous.
It is bad.
And saying, well, no, that if you can't define these things, why should I take you seriously when you can't define human nature as it really is?
That's Trent Horn. I'm Timory Millington. You are listening to Trending with Timory. It's great to be with you. And, you know, as we're looking at this, Trent, it's really important because ultimately you and I see this article, we see the headline. And before we even get into the details, we know that ultimately what they're trying to say is that masculinity is bad. And that men need to be more like girls. But then at the same time, they're trying to say that there are no differences. This is where the heart of the problem is really reaching into our society right now. We're seeing it in the school system like we were discussing before. But one area where I really wanted to touch in the APA, so that's the American Psychological mm-hmm. Association, also put out a video that I just saw on YouTube. And it's titled, Boys Don't Cry. And it's of this young black man who is talking about how boys aren't supposed to, I was taught to fight. I was taught not to cry. I was taught not to show emotions. And I was told to man up. And so it caused all of these issues for
right.
him and his development emotionally. Well, it's interesting and ironic that they're showing that within a black home and black household, that that's what they have, where they also have the father's very absent in majority of cases. Yet the big complaint in society today is white men. That's what people complain about. Yet here, clearly, one of the major addressed issues is this community that is really being impoverished and impacted by the lack of fathers in the home.
Right. And as I said earlier, especially with the African American community, I do believe that things like the lingering effects of racism, especially with the way law enforcement can some aspects of law enforcement interact with members of the African American community, is problematic or unjust. And you have a lot of other social issues and factors that can make life difficult in this community. But one thing I think in an overarching way that makes it very, very difficult is the high rate and absence of fathers to provide that example. And you're right that masculinity, men who try to be macho, masculinity is not macho. Macho is a puffing up of your chest to try to cover your own weaknesses and pretend that they're not there. That's macho. So that's like trying to be bigger than you really are because you're scared of who you really are. Masculinity for a man, a real man, recognizes his limits. He's brave, not because he lacks fear, but because he chooses to overcome his fear for the good of others. So that's why he can understand he has limits. And if he's sad or upset or in pain, he can recognize that and tell that to others. But the masculine edge is to not let that control him and make him give up. It's to power through that without repressing it. And so you're right. Yeah. Saying you should never cry, you should never be upset, you should never be afraid. That is disordered masculinity. But healthy masculinity recognizes these emotions we have, but channels them towards a greater good.
So when this young boy in the video says, you taught me boys don't cry. So what am I? Right. So he's saying, OK, if I do cry, well, what am I then? That's not what it is. And I think when we create this box mentality and we try to say, well, boys can't be into the arts, they can't dance, they can't play music, they can't play instruments, or, you know, these different things, or boys can't do X, boys can't do Y. That's when we create the issues. And the reality is, and you were talking about this earlier, Trent, that it's one thing maybe not to show emotion and to really kind of put on a tough demeanor when you are on the battlefield or enduring something in the workplace. But it's another thing to be honest when you're home, like, yeah, that was really difficult. And I think that that's what people are missing sometimes in this conversation, that there's an appropriate time and place to share what's going on
but,
in your life.
But also it's okay. Like that stoicism, if you're the father and let's say you found out your home is being foreclosed upon and you know, your family, you've got this problem and your wife and children are looking at you. Part of the role being a father, being masculine, is to not completely break down in front of them, but to be a strength and a foundation for them. And it's the same for a mother to do that as well, to provide that nurturing and supportive role to know that we will get through this. And so there, it's always about seeking a balance here. Before we end this segment, I want to point our listeners to an article I found very helpful on the new APA guidelines by one of my favorite authors, David French, at the National Review.
We'll tweet that out.
Yeah, and it's called Grown Men Are the Solution, Not the Problem. Mm. And he goes through the article, and it's great to talk about how you can talk about this authentic and ordered masculinity. And he just tells a great story at the end about how when he was in his 30s, he was overweight, he was unhealthy, and he wasn't taking care of himself. But then he decided to man up and take care of himself. He joined the Navy. He worked out. He got his body in shape. He got control over his body, and he got strength, just raw human masculine strength. And so one day when he went on a hike with his son and a bunch of other young men and boys, one of the boys threw a rock at his son's head, and his son got a gaping head wound, and he was losing a lot of blood. There was an ambulance that came, but they couldn't get the stretcher down to the canyon. So French had to pick his son up and carry him like a fireman up the canyon and run up that canyon holding, you know, a 60, 70 pound child. And he got the boy up and he was fine. But he said that if I was my other unhealthy self, I would have failed my son. I would not have been able to do that. But he managed to build up the strength within him to serve his son. That is an example of authentic masculinity that's ordered. That's what we need. Healthy, ordered masculinity, not an assault on masculinity or the complementariness of men and women in general.
I love this example because this is something we're seeing as a trend in many men today who are saying, hey, I'm finding I'm here in life. and I'm not really happy with it, wherever you might be. And they're saying, you know, there's something that I missed, whether it was in my formation or laziness or just direction. And I'm seeing different people like Jocko Willink, for example, like The Art of Manliness, where they're calling men to their mission of responsibility, of being protectors, providers, to taking on that strong level of commitment, of healthy exercise, you know, having discipline with what time you wake up in the morning and so forth. And men are hungry for it. For this, yet it's something that's been so missing in their discipline because they're told with this zero tolerance policy to not interact, not engage. So they're shutting down and imploding truly right now in our society.
Yeah. We need to give men and women space to be able to live out the particular gifts God gave them. Just because women are nurturing doesn't mean men can't have soft, affectionate time with their children. I still cuddle with my children. I am not ashamed of that one way or another and hope to do so as long as I can. And men are sacrificial, but my wife makes far more sacrifices than I do. And maybe even more painful ones, you know, from a biological perspective and giving birth to our children. But just because men and women have these different traits doesn't mean there isn't real masculinity and femininity for us to grow into, to learn how to live out in healthy ways. That's what we should promote to people.
Trent, where can people find you online and your work that you're doing right now?
I think the best place for them to go would be my podcast at trenthornpodcast.com. Hear more thoughts from me and be able to check out my books and other things as well at trenthornpodcast.com.
A big shout out to all of our listeners on some of our new radio networks, including the Modern Day Radio Network. Shout out to you guys listening in Portland, Vancouver, Salem, Eugene, Springfield, and Cottage Grove. I hope you enjoy the show. You can find more episodes at radiotrending.com, including links to Trent Horn and I talking about other issues such as his new book.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trenthornpodcast.com.